Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It is the Rose, Rose Columbo right here for you every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m., God willing, and I guess he's willing today. And I'm glad you're alive and well as well. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll be right with you with a very special and dynamic guest today.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Yes, there's little justice in the world today. And if you really want to find out if humanity will survive or will we be depopulated, and it's a question people are worried about today. So maybe you need to get a copy of a book that discusses how the Judeo-Christian dinosaurs were either made extinct or depopulated.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Columbo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Columbo, available at Amazon.com.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because today we have a dynamic guest. She's a returning guest, and we're always excited to have her on Columbo Chronicles. Her name is Olympia LaPointe, and she is hailed as the new Einstein by her fans and named the modern-day hidden figure by People magazine. Olympia LaPointe is an award-winning rocket scientist and celebrity author who is helping audience overcome fear with science and math. Her personal story and trailblazing faith, seen by 21 million viewers on TV programs and online through TED Talks, and in fact, you will not believe this, but Olympia LaPointe helped launch 28 space shuttle missions to space. A very, very exciting background indeed. And we're going to discuss her latest book, Mathophobia, and how to overcome your math fears and science fears and even your goals. And if you have fears about not succeeding, she is going to tell you how you can overcome those fears. And she wrote Answers Unleashed and Answers Unleashed 2. And we've discussed that on our show in the past, and maybe we'll touch on it today as well. And on that note, I'm going to let you know what is happening in the world before we enter into the world of authors and experts, and what are people saying about what is happening in today's world. Well, Alex Brishwitz says a year ago, Joe Biden handed F-15s and $85 billion worth of military equipment to the Taliban. Today, Joe Biden threatened to use F-15s against American citizens who believe in protecting the 2A. And he says, totally insanity. And then we have Ron Rosenstein, if you remember him, Rosenstein. He was an FBI agent and director. And he must sit, it says, for a deposition in fired FBI agent Peter Sturzok's suit over disclosure of antitrust texts. And so this is going to be a hot topic coming up Next year, I believe it's going to continue, and it's going to just bring out more information for the public, because people want to know the truth. And we all want to know the truth and why we're paying so much money for groceries and gasoline. And then in California, there's another little wrench they threw in. Climate change releasing horrid disease causing fungus from the California soil. Now, I wondered, and maybe it's just me, but I've been wondering for a long time, if the chemtrails that have been sprayed over decades actually have let's say caused contamination in the water and the soil on the plants and the trees. Because back then I read that the scientists said, and the chemist said, that there was lead and barium and aluminum in the chemtrails. And those chemtrails have been sprayed across the world for decades now. And 12 years ago, I began noticing that the trees were dying and the bark was just peeling off the trees. And they were chopping down a lot of trees, you know, like 50 or 100-year-old trees. And they're so beautiful, it takes them so long to grow. And so it was a big concern because the plants didn't seem as healthy as well. And there weren't as many butterflies or bees or ladybugs and a variety of butterflies that we used to see in the past. So to me, that was extremely interesting because the chemtrails, in my opinion, appear to have caused a serious problem for our environment. Now, I could be totally wrong, but I don't think so. I think I might be totally correct. So on that note, I'm going to take a break, and I will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial, and we'll be right back.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
That's right, it's available at Amazon.com. And we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts in just a moment. I told you a little bit about our fabulous guest, Olympia LaPointe. Let me tell you a little bit more about her, and then we'll be talking to her in just a moment. She's hailed as the new Einstein by her fans, and she's named the modern-day hidden figure by People magazine. In case you missed that, Olympia LaPointe is an award-winning rocket scientist, author, and TED speaker of the top reprogramming your brain to overcome fear. She's helped launch 28 NASA space shuttle missions into space. That is remarkable. And today, LaPointe's Mission Control Room desk is a science exhibit at the California Science Center in Los Angeles. In her youth, Olympia LaPointe overcame severe poverty. And maybe she'll tell us a little bit about that when we say hello to our very dynamic guest. And welcome, Olympia LaPointe, to Columbo Chronicles Live. Hi, Olympia. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm well. I'm happy to be back on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to always have you, and it's exciting because you're very positive and uplifting, and you give a lot of encouragement to both kids and adults and anyone, actually, who needs that extra boost and to achieve whatever their dreams are at any age. It doesn't really matter. And so, Olympia, why don't you tell you're welcome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background for those who don't know, and when you were growing up, because I know you had a struggle with math, and you were not getting it like many, many people and many students. So what happened to you that you surpassed all of that?
Oh, you asked such great questions, and I love being on your show. For your guests, if you've just heard me for the first time, congratulations, because what I'm about to say is going to change the rest of your life. I'm Olympia LaPointe, and although I helped launch 28 NASA missions into space from 1998 to 2007, and I wrote a series of books, I wasn't always successful. And specifically, I came from poverty and an impoverished background and troubling situations where I had to learn how to reprogram my mind to do well. That led me to write my first book, and this is what we're really going to focus on today, is my first book, Mathophobia, How You Can Overcome Your Math Fears and Become a Rocket Scientist. And I really want to just hone in on this particular topic today because it's back to school time. We are all looking at ways to be able to help our students, help our kids, help the next generation to succeed. And I share my own personal story of how I personally failed algebra, calculus, chemistry, and geometry, and still, by the grace of God, learn to overcome my fear and become a rocket scientist. And so today I'm going to share with us the tips on actually how to do that. I have that from my book, Mathophobia, How You Can Overcome Your Math Fears and Become a Rocket Scientist. That's on mathophobia.com. And I had to learn how to change the way that I saw myself. A lot of people suffer from fear when they learn mathematics. And what mathophobia is, it's a severe fear that happens in the reptilian part of the brain that shuts off the frontal brain lobe from creative problem solving. And this type of problem solving is needed within mathematics education. And mathematics education is the foundation for every single type of science, technology, engineering, and math career in the future. So if someone is experiencing fear of math, they can't succeed in math, and then they can't succeed in STEM classes, and then they can't, and STEM is the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, they won't succeed in those classes, and we won't have the people to launch to help launch to the moon and help get us back to the moon with our Artemis launch that's supposed to be happening on Saturday. So we have to invest in removing the fear that makes people scared of going into the science fields, because the science field is what's going to allow us to change our future, to beat climate change, to beat the type of issues with technology hacking and satellite hacking, to create the type of ways for clean water. We will need the scientists, and it all starts with overcoming your fear of mathematics. So,
Olympia, let me ask you this question. Do females have more of a problem with math than males, would you say, even today? And also, Do you know the percentage of that of how many people in America, let's say, cannot get their brain to cooperate with the math classes today?
Dean, these are great questions, great questions. Surprisingly, it doesn't matter if you're 8 or 85. 1 out of 5 people, a recent study showed that 1 out of 5 people suffer from extreme, well, actually, let me say it like this. I'll say it the other way. 4 out of 5 people, 80% of people, are scared of math. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 85. 80%. That statistic was shocking to me, too, when I read it. I was like, am I looking at this correctly?
Wow.
80% of people, doesn't matter if they're older, like it's more experienced. It doesn't matter if you're 85. It doesn't matter if you're experienced professional or if it doesn't matter if you're 5. 80% of people are scared of mathematics. Now, this is like addition, subtraction. This is decimals. This is basic calculations. It's not like the calculus and not like geometry. This is like basic mathematics. And it's
shocking.
It is. That
is shocking to think that basic math. I mean, I got stuck with algebra, but I could do all the basics, you know, but when it came to algebra, that's where my fear came in, and I just could not get it. And the teacher had mercy on me because I was trying so hard, so he gave me a C, I think. I was the kindness of the heart, I'm sure. So I never overcame that fear of algebra.
Well, you're not alone. I failed algebra too. I had to take it. Did I take it over? No, get this. It was ninth grade. I failed algebra big time, big time. And I thought I was doing well. I thought I understood what was going on, and I failed it. And I felt shame. I felt extreme shame. Instead of looking at the mistakes I made in mathematics, with not understanding the logic, I looked at it as I felt like I was a mistake. And that's often the interior thinking of the shame that comes up when people fear mathematics. And there's 4 different types of fears, mathophobia fears. It's Quincy the quitter. He'll quit before he even tries. It's Donna the overdoer. She'll try and try and try and still miss the mark. It is Samuel the struggler. He's really smart, but people don't know how smart he is, and they think he's dumb or have a learning disability, and he's really smart, but he doesn't know how to communicate himself. And then there's Crystal the criticizer. She'll point fingers at everyone for her poor performance because she doesn't know how to become a beginner again. And in my book, Mathophobia, I talk about how you can actually rewire your brain so you don't think you are the failure. You realize that the approach that you're taking needs to change, and you begin to feel confident by taking action steps. And this a 3-step process. You have to, one, know what
your math. Before you get to the 3-step process, I just wanted to say you made a really good point about when you fail in math, that you feel like you're the failure. And that is the fear. And I think that's a really important point. And I think that happens to a lot of people.
Yes,
they don't
it
realize
a lot of people.
What techniques you can overcome with help such as you can provide for people. So what were the steps?
Oh, you had asked a question, and I definitely want to make sure I answer every question that you asked. And one of the questions is, why are girls not – is there a reason why girls are not – in the forefront when it comes to science, technology, engineering, mathematics, or what are the stats of that? And I want to definitely just explain this to people. At a very young age, around 10 years old, is the moment in time. There's a difference between how boys and girls are promoted to go in science. At around 10 years old, there's a change in the type of thinking of from like a child. They're becoming a little bit older is where their brain is changing. At that age, boys are really active. They'll throw their hand up as soon as they know the answer in the class. So you may, if you're a teacher, you're asking a question out to the classroom, what's 5 plus 9? And then you'll see a young boy throw his hand up, and he knows the answer. Ooh, I know. At the same time, there's a girl that knows also, but because she doesn't have the same communication gestures as a young boy, she'll sit and she'll raise her hand, but it won't be thrown up in the air, which is the same, which is the type of difference in gestures between the genders at that young age. So the boys would more than likely be called down more so by the teacher, which would leave the girls feeling left out. And that would be, in some cases, the subliminal messaging that the young girls would have, meaning they would not be looked at or sought to give answers to a particular problem. So at a very young age, simply because there's a difference in how young children communicate, knowing the answer and responding to questions, there typically is not a emphasis on young girls getting the ability to provide the answers to the same questions.
As well, that makes sense to me, though. That makes sense to me that why the field of science and engineering and those types of careers, women were discriminated against by the males. And even today, there's still some of that going on. But they were definitely discriminated up through maybe at least the early 2000s, because I knew women who were engineers, and they were totally given the jobs that were more menial than the males, let's say. So you're absolutely correct.
Thank you. It's learning to change this outcome early on in life. There's no reason why any woman or any person of color or any young boy, it doesn't matter who they are, everyone has a right to learn and become great at science and be given opportunities to show their answers and solutions in science. And so I'm here today, just like the women of the movie Hidden Figures, the late Katherine Johnson and Mary Jackson, I am the modern day hidden figure where I'm showing all of us how to change the future by investing in the science education so we have the leaders and the solution finders of tomorrow.
That's very good. And so what would you say to those kids that are going back to school and they are still fearful of going, because math has changed a lot and the curriculum's changed a lot. And the parents too, they give you those, the homework and you're looking at it and going, I've never seen this before. I don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So do they need tutors? How do they get the help they need? Because most parents didn't learn what they're learning today.
That's a great, great point. There's like all this type of new math that's being shown, and it's really on the same concepts and the fundamental concepts of mathematics. It's just a different approach that's gaining the same result. Mathematics itself doesn't change. How it's shown is what's changed. So if you're a student who is struggling in mathematics, I encourage you to be honest to be honest. So often you would be scared that you don't know how to do something and you stay silent about it and you suffer in silence. And I want you to know that that approach is not going to work. You need to tell people that you're experiencing difficulty, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a parent, whether it be a school official. The more you speak up about what you don't know, the more you will learn how to do it. And even if you speak up and a parent doesn't know how to help you, a school official doesn't know how to help you, or a teacher doesn't know how to help you, they will know how to point you to someone who can. They are the masters at finding other people. When you speak up, it is going to always result in a good outcome. And it may not necessarily feel like it at first, but it will always result in a good outcome because when you're honest with how you're experiencing your education, that speaking up process and communicating yourself always in the long run will have a beneficial effect. The second thing is if you're a teacher and you don't necessarily know what to do when students are struggling, I encourage you to pick up my Mathophobia book and even see if you can provide copies of the Mathophobia book for your students. Because when you understand how different brains work of the people who are in the classes, you are empowered to be able to show them mathematics in the way that they understand it. For example, there are some people who are, I call them the Quincy the Quitters. They will feel shame that they are not getting it, so they won't even do their homework. They'll go home and they won't even try to understand what's going on because they immediately feel like a failure even when they pick up the book. That's how deep it is. So to recognize those type of students, you have to encourage them, coach them. Like, do you know what? Oh, I know that you're not going to understand this right away, but let's do one problem at a time. Let's just start with that. And just one problem at a time. And you can have coach them. There's some students who are Donna the overdoer. They feel bad because they're excellent communicators. They may be great writers. And you've heard this before, like, oh, math just wasn't my thing. I'm a better writer and I'm better at English or drama or theater. And I'm a cheerleader. That's what I'm good at. You know, they pride themselves at being great at something else, just not math. Those are usually the signs that you're dealing with the Donna the overdoer, where she's just a perfectionist, but when it comes to mathematics, she's not a perfectionist at that, and that just makes her feel shameful. So the way you overcome that as a teacher, if you're a teacher, you overcome that by saying, okay, I'm going to show you the strategy so you can master these certain subjects. Let's start with one approach at a time. It's learning the strategy to answer these questions. And so when you show them the process to answer the question, they feel good because they're learning the process and they're establishing a way to be able to tackle something so they feel that they can eventually master it. If you're a teacher and you're dealing with Samuel the Struggler, these individuals are usually really genius people, but they come across as having a learning disability. You'll see them writing things on a piece of paper, and this piece of paper is just very, very scattered. You'll look at the words on the piece of paper, and it's scattered all over everywhere. You'll be trying to figure out where their 9 + 5 is located on the paper because you don't see the plus sign and you don't see the equal sign. And you'll be like, what did this person write? And that usually, if you come across that, that's usually a sign you're dealing with a genius person. That's counterintuitive to what you've been taught. But when someone writes down on a piece of paper like that, you're dealing with a genius person. That writing indicates that they do not follow the same type of thinking pattern as everyone else, but rather they think out of the box where they're able to find and see things and that no one else can see. So if you can teach them on how to communicate the way that everyone else communicates and tell them, do you know what you, how you think is brilliant, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to communicate the way that everybody else will understand what's in your brain. That's when you get the respect from those students, and they will listen and follow, and they are typically genius people. And then the last person is Crystal the Criticizer. She will, if you're a teacher and you're dealing with one of these people, she will cut you down. She will talk about you behind your back. And you're trying to help the student. And she just, it's because she feels so bad that she doesn't know how to do this, that it is so much easier for her to blame someone else than for her to take ownership over not being able to do it on her own. That's
sounds
it,
like
it
there's a lot of
deep.
Politicians that are of that personality there. They need to read the book.
You bring up a good point. Yeah, these personalities are not just in mathematics. They are across the board. They're in corporate America. They're in politics. They're in leadership. And it's the ineffective, dysfunctional way that we solve problems.
Yes.
When we learn to solve problems in a way that's functional, Quincy the Quitter becomes David the Determined. Donna the Overdoer becomes Sarah the Strategist. Samuel the Struggler becomes Ivan the Innovator. And then the Crystal the Criticizer, who will point fingers and talk bad about everyone, becomes Ellen the Explorer, will figure out and explore new ways of doing things. So she becomes the person who ushers in a new way of doing things. So when we learn that we are experiencing fear when we're trying to solve a problem, and the way it shows up, the easiest is in mathematics, but literally shows up in any other part of our life that we don't know how to find a solution to. When we are able to identify our fear and then take action steps on reprogramming our mind, we can become these people who find solutions. The David the Determined, the Sarah the Strategist, the Ivan the Innovator, and Ellen the Explorer, because we've learned how to address the fear and we turn on the frontal brain lobes that find us solutions and answers. And that's where our answers are unleashed.
Yeah, Olivia, you're describing how you overcame your fear as a child, too, because you were in a situation where you were impoverished and you didn't have the money to even get on a bus to get to a tutor on a Saturday from a teacher who offered you help and other students. But you were determined and to go to that class on that Saturday. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what motivated you to want to learn math and take your Saturday, which most kids don't want to do, and go to your tutor, your school teacher, who is offering you the opportunity to be tutored in math. What drove you to do that? What changed in your brain?
Yeah. I'll take you back to this one moment. I have several moments in my life, and this is one of the more critical moments that I talk about. I remember being in a corner grocery store. It was one of these small mom-and-pop shops that sold food. And I went in there, and I was supposed to buy toilet tissue. I had a dollar, and I didn't have any other money to my name, but my task was to buy toilet tissue with a dollar and bring it back for the family. And we only had $5 to eat for five people that week. So I was living in extreme poverty in South Los Angeles. At the time, it was on a borderline of South Central, and it was gang violence everywhere. And I wanted to eat. And I remember going into the store, picking up the toilet tissue to buy it, and looking at the food and wanting to eat it, and knew that I didn't have an ability to be able to buy the food so I could take away my hunger. I went to school not only to learn, but I went to school for a meal.
And that was the highlight of being able to go to school, because at least I knew that I was going to get a free lunch. At least I was going to have something to eat that day. And I remember going into this store, and I'm looking around, and I remember feeling sadness. And I felt like crying, and I bought the toilet tissue, and I ended up leaving. And I cried, and I prayed to God. I'm like, God, please show me a way to change my situation. I can't live like this. I can't live in poverty. And I'm an honest person. I need to have some sort of method to change my life. God, help me. And I went to sleep that night. I don't think I ever shared this on any radio show before, so I think your radio show is the first. I went to sleep that night, and I had a dream. And that dream, there were these, you know how you dream and there's like all this strange stuff that happens in a dream?
Absolutely.
Well, in my dream, I went to sleep, and I was shown science. It was like I was floating in the sky, and I was shown how science works, like how fire starts and what is in fire and how the earth circulates around the sun and why the moon goes around the earth. And it's just, I was shown like all the mysteries to the universe, and it was all molecular science. I mean, it was like all the chemistry and the math and everything. And it was just so amazing, because this dream, it was like showing me about how the whole universe worked physically. And I remember waking up from the dream and being so excited that I was like, oh, I'm a genius. I have all the keys to the universe. And all of a sudden, 30 seconds later, everything just kind of faded away from me in my head, and I couldn't remember anything, and it was all gone. Mm-hmm. But something miraculous happened. I felt like I could learn it all again. I felt like if I spent enough time, I could learn the keys to the universe. And that, I realized, was God's way of showing me that when I learned science, I could change my life.
I am a total believer in everything you said, because I've had that experience with God. And, I totally believe you. You gave me chills, because God does answer us. We just have to pay attention, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we sure do. We sure do. I for me, that moment where I went into that store so hungry and didn't have a way to buy the food, and my prayer to show me a way to change my life, and then that dream that showed me that science and mathematics was a way that I can change my life, and not only change my life, but change the universe, change our world, and change the minds of people. That was the ticket for me to change my life. And that is the reason why I'm so passionate today about talking about mathematics and science, because it changed my life. And I am positive, 100% positive, that it will change the lives of millions of people. And so that is the reason why I do what I do.
And I can relate to that so much. And so, and the thing is that it is passion, it's a calling, it's a mission. And a lot of people don't understand it, but you do have to have passion for what you do, I believe, and have a good attitude that it's about helping other people. And that is the best reward ever, and seeing other people succeed and being happy and changing their lives. And I think, you know, that's what you're doing too. And so I truly believe that. I truly believe that it is a calling from a higher power. And in my case, in your case, it's God. And so I'm so happy that you shared that story, because it's a very important story in my opinion. It's very important, and it could help other people pay attention to certain messages and dreams and symbols that God actually sends to us. And we think when he's not answering our prayers or it's not in the right time, and it's like, why haven't you answered my prayers? Why is this happening to me? And then you keep, one day, you know, you just like you said, you're like, oh my gosh, this is a message, and I can do this. And I, you know, in my case, I felt like God's going to help me do this. And I think you did too, did you? Didn't you just feel like God's there and he's going to help you get to your goal?
Yes. And each time I took a step on faith and I did something that was hard, and mm-hmm. I realized that the outcome was going to be good no matter what, if what happened. Each decision mm-hmm. that I made to take a step in faith changed my future. And that process of making decision over and over and over and over again to step on in faith gave me the confidence in myself to realize that I can do things. And the fear that was in my head about the mathematics started to change and shift. And it became a way of reprogramming myself, like, I can do this, even though it's really tough. This decision to branch out and do something that's hard, and no matter how long it's going to take me to do it, it's going to change my life. And that thinking and that mind frame and that decision-making process is what allowed me AnswersUnleashed.com, a platform where I promote the ability to have science and faith together, because when you have faith and you use practical methods with science, you create innovation. But innovation doesn't happen if you don't have that faith that it's going to come about. If you can't see that future, and if you don't make those decisions to step out on faith and do something that's new and do something that's never been done before or do something that hasn't been expected, you can't beat the odds. And you can't create the innovation that you're designed to create. So by combining that faith, which is the opposite of fear, and by combining that science, those practical ways of doing things, we create innovation. And so I'm a true believer that our thinking, there's God in our thinking, and there's God in our actions, and specifically there's God in our decision-making. And when we create wise decisions, when we create a way to step in faith out of fear and step in faith towards what we see ourselves going towards, when we do that, we change our lives, and we change the lives of everyone who is witnessing us as we do it.
Beautifully put. I love that. I love how you stated that. And it's so true, you know, because God gave us a free will and a free choice. And we can't ignore his calling. We can't ignore the mission. We can't ignore our purpose in life and just stay in the same spot we're in and just, you know, just do our daily things. And the person, though, I think that steps out and sees that it is a calling, it is a mission, and it is a purpose, and that's why we're here on the earth, to do what we can and leave behind what we can that hopefully will help other people and future generations, I think is really the goal that, you know, God will always help people who follow their passion and their mission and their purpose. And, you know, it's so important not to miss that opportunity, I think, because it's not easy. It's not easy to do it. And it's a lot of pain and suffering or heartache and between all that. But then there's the blessings, right?
There's
people come forward
blessings.
And they help you. Yeah. And
yeah,
then you find people who come forward that help you. Go ahead.
I agree. I'm so excited. I'm like chiming in with what you're saying. I'm like, yes.
Because, you know, life is so, I tell everybody, look, life is so short. get up and say, thank you, God, I can see the sky and the birds and the bees. And I can see the flowers and, you know, the ocean and breathe in the ions, whatever it is. You know, thank God for your health. Thank God for, and so because you blessed us with this food on our table and clothes on our back, heck, we're in heaven already. So why not thank God by doing our purpose, our passion, and our mission so other people can learn from our experiences and our knowledge that we gain over the years. And I think it's just fantastic that you wrote this book, Mathophobia, and that you're helping people of any age, especially the students now that are in college or in high school or middle school, to overcome their fear. Because as you said, math is one of the biggest issues for a lot of people, including me.
Oh, my God. It's all of us. And the most ironic part is, remember when you asked about that question about what happened when I was in algebra and you shared your algebra experience? This is how funny it is how it all came back around. I failed algebra. I went on to geometry thinking that I could take geometry, thinking it was going to be complete different, and I didn't realize that geometry, half of geometry was algebraic equations proving something is true, and I ended up failing geometry, and I had to take geometry over, but I don't think I ever took algebra over, but this is the funniest part. I had to learn algebra. When I went to college and I became a math tutor, I sat next to people and read the book with them. I remember being hired as a math tutor in college in 1993. And when I was hired by the late Jane, Mrs. Pinkerton at California State University, Northridge, I told her, I didn't do well in these classes. She told me, that's okay. I want you to sit down and I want you to read the book with everybody that you sit next to. And I'm like, well, what if they ask me about how to do it? I won't know how to do it. She goes, okay, that's okay. Tell them you're going to sit down next to them and read the book. And so that's what I did. I sat down next to each person and like, how do I do this? And I was just honest. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to sit down and read the book with you. They thought I was joking. And I'm like, no, I'm going to sit down and read the book with you. And that was the most effective method. I not only understood all this stuff that I really didn't do well in before, but they also learned it, and they learned how to read a math book, and we both together sat down and learned how to read a math book together. And it was amazing. Thousands of people in these group tutoring programs graduated because we sat down and read the book together.
That is a really funny story. That's a great story. Oh, my gosh. You just never know in life, you know, what's going to, you know, all these little twists and turns and what's going to come out of it, you know. And that was a very smart teacher, right?
Yes. That was a smart decision. The funniest part is after that, I went into aerospace, launch rockets, and I was always passionate about helping people understand mathematics. And I was working on the weekends helping people in mathematics in pre-college programs in math. And after I left rocket science, I went to become a math professor for 14 years. And for 10 years straight, guess the class that I taught for 10 years.
Algebra?
Algebra.
See how everything comes around. Some of the strangest things happen in
our lives. That was a blessing. Yes, I became a master at algebra, the same class that I failed when I was in ninth grade. And the most brilliant part about it was this class was the only class that thousands of students needed to in order to graduate with their degree. And I was very proud because I helped. It was over this 14-year period. It was specifically over 2,000 students that were in my classes over this 14-year period. earn their degrees because they completed their mathematics. And so I'm very proud about that. Had I not failed, had I not failed, I would not have been able to help people get their degrees.
Well, you know what I tell people, Olympia, is that you're never a failure. You just pick yourself up and you try to learn from that mistake. And it's a lesson, you know. And are you going to stay a failure or are you going to pick yourself up and try to figure it out, you know, and find someone like Olympia to help you, you know. And people are there. You just got to pick yourself up because everybody has some issue in their life that they're not successful at. I mean, even, you know, multimillionaires have lost businesses and started over again, you know. And so you learn from your mistakes, right? And you try again. You keep trying and, you know, and you'll find somebody like Olympia LaPointe who will help you. And you can actually buy her book, Mathophobia. So it's always such a pleasure to talk to you and so empowering. You make me feel empowered when I talk to you and energized, and I think the audience does too. And so, Olympia, now's your time to give any message you like, and also please tell the audience where they can find your, if you have any workshops going on or any events, and also how to get your books, of course.
Oh, thank you. The great news is that there's back-to-school help. We purposely giving information out for back-to-school time. Visit mathophobia.com. You can download the Mathophobia book, as well as I'm creating an online subscription service. So contact us through mathophobia.com if you're interested in being subscribed to videos where you learn the basics. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 85. You will receive the ability to watch subscription videos where you can learn the basics of mathematics, and it shows you in an easy-to-understand way. Everything in which you may have been too afraid to ask for, or your student may be too afraid to have asked, we have videos available to make things really clear. So visit us on mathophobia.com, shoot us an email, and contact us through the number on the website, and we can help you understand mathematics so you can become the leader of tomorrow.
Oh, thank you so much for being our guest today, Olympia LaPointe, and you have a great day and a blessed day, and we'll have you back again. So you take care.
We'll talk
to you again soon. You're welcome.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. And Olympia LaPointe has left the building, and I want you to get her book, Mathophobia, or Answers Unleashed and Answers Unleashed 2. She gave you all the information you need to beat up your math abilities here and move on and forward and become a rocket scientist. And guess what? Now we're going to enter into the world of the Justice Club, actually. And the reason I brought back the Justice Club is because when I first started it a long time ago, it was, I'd say there was not quite as much justice as we need. And today I say there's very little justice, if any, in some cases. And we really do need to talk about injustices. And you will be looking forward to my version 2 coming, my popular book, Fight Back Legal Abuse, version 2 coming very soon in 2023, I imagine, is the date. So I will let you know about that. But now you will want to hear about Obamasaurus. It is a political satire. It has humor. It has adventure. And it's entertaining. And it's thought-provoking. And one critic said, it will knock your socks off.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Yes, listen up, because we are going to read the Daily Mail by Walter Finch. And guess what? The FBI is getting a little shook up. You know, not all FBI agents are involved in this rogue and political decision-making at the top for one party versus the other party and targeting the other party. And I'll let you guess which party that is. Who's being protected and who's being targeted with no due process of law and based on accusation only? We're going to raid your house. We're going to, in the middle of the night, you're in your bed and you're in senior citizens and your wife has breast cancer and you're going to come in with guns pointed, surround your house, even though you're just sleeping and you haven't committed any crimes like murder or rape or pedophilia, but those are ignored anyway. So you have committed the crime of being on the wrong political side you're just on the wrong political side. And you are now a potential fascist, even though you're a patriot and you love your country and you pay taxes and you work and you're supporting their 30 million illegals in our country, who the Border Patrol and FBI even says many of them are cartel members and drug traffickers and pedophiles and child traffickers, and they're bringing in fentanyl to kill off our young people or fry their brains. Hey, that's okay if you're on the right side of the political agenda. They will ignore all of that, it appears. But if you are on the wrong side of the political agenda, then you are silenced. And you are told to shut up, sit down, be quiet, and just do as you're told. And that is not the American way. It is not the American way, and Americans should not put up with it. And the elections are coming, and so you need to vote on the opposite side of what the current political agenda happens to be. So I'll let you guess left or right. FBI staff have lost confidence in Director Christopher Wray. Shocking, isn't it? And are calling for him to step down, says lawyer, one day after it emerged politically biased agent who protected Hunter Biden had left the Bureau. FBI rank and file have lost confidence in Director Christopher Wray, report says, and they're calling for his resignation. And Kurt Sudak, a lawyer and former FBI agent who now represents whistleblowers at the Bureau, said that agents are telling him Wray has lost control of the agency and they do not see how he can continue in his position. I'm hearing from FBI personnel that they feel like the director has lost control of the Bureau, Sudak told the Washington Times. And, you know, what are we going to do if we don't have objective and fair judges and district attorneys, attorney generals, prosecutors, and USAGs? If they are all leaning to protect one party, we have no justice. We have no justice for America. And if these billionaires, these technocrats, are going to fund these Department of Justice, we definitely have no justice in America, because the Department of Justice should never be funded by anyone. They should be apply for a position, and from their background and their work and their good character and their non-bias positions and without any political agendas, be appointed to those positions because they earned it, not because they had more money to campaign and now are puppets of the technocrats who are running the country. And on that note, I have to say God bless you. Remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me, and by the way, they have. And you can also be a survivor. I've helped tons of people around this country who were victims become survivors, and you can do the same. So together, we can make a positive difference. And remember, you're never alone when you tune in to Colombo Chronicles Live.
Well, my friends, time flies. And now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.